Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all your many blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be at this court today. We carry on the county business, the people's business. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we make a decision for the best interest of the people of this county. We ask you to be a leader to this state and this country, leaders all over the world, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to be with our men and women serving overseas. We ask you to bring them home safely. Dear Heavenly Father, always be with this court, guide us and direct us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. First item on the agenda, public comments and all requests and information on non-agenda items. Section 551.442.
Thank you, Your Honor, Commissioners. Appreciate the opportunity to bring a project that I've been working on since I was appointed as a veteran service officer in May. And this is a program to allow local veterans to be able to identify themselves with their veteran status to local businesses and merchants. And they don't have to carry around a DD-214 with them all the time. There's lots more information on DD-214 than they might want to make public or distribute to businesses or merchants in the area. Some of you may have already seen the rough draft of the business type card. Bears the name of Titus County Veteran. And there are six individual cards dealing with the branches of service in the Merchant Marine. Mr. Boggs, I think I have a set of these in the folder also. Basically, the actual card where my name is present will say United States, and then the branch of service will be under that. It will list the discharge type as honorable and have a verifiable ID number. Each branch is numbered in sequence, so we are able to maintain a log and a record of who's issued what card and when it was done. That's to be done by the veteran service officer himself. The question of whether or not the business type card being made of paper is the right type to do it. Again, our goal was to keep the project minimal cost to all parties. There will be no charge to local veterans for issuance of the card. Their only requirement is to bring in a verifiable and valid DD-214 registered with the county clerk. Same with Franklin County. They will need to bring me their registered copy of the DD-214 so I can make a copy of it and put it on file in connection with the issuance of the cards. The program originally started out with trying to do all the bells and whistles and solve all the world's problems, but found out quickly we're not going to be able to do that, and that would be cost prohibitive. Again, the purpose of the card is to have a benefit to provide to the veteran and not another liability. The card is easily replaceable and easily verifiable. Being that I'll be the only one issuing the cards, I'll know exactly who's got them and which cards are valid. Being a business type card, yes, they're going to wear out. But again, that number will be voided of the old card or another card we issue. So I don't see if that's going to be any major significance. I've been asked about security and the ability to duplicate them outside. There's going to be a number of security and protection issues. Of course, it's just a business card. However, to be issued, it will be embossed stamped. The initials may be used by the county clerk stamp until a veteran service officer stamp is available. I have ordered one. It will be countersigned by the VSO itself and the veteran. There is a disclaimer on the back of the card, whether it be any service, they're all the same. Specifies this card confirms veteran has filed at 8214 in the county of residence. Currently, that's going to be Titus for Franklin County. This card is not a guarantee of benefits. This doesn't force any merchant or business to comply with a request to provide a discount or cut rate program. May be used for discount special rates with participating merchants. Again, this is a merchant's option to participate. Places like Lowe's, Home Depot, Tractor Supply, they have in place veteran recognition discounts and programs, but they are looking for, and I have been in touch with, some type of ID so that the veteran himself doesn't have to produce a DD-214. It also stipulates that the business or merchant may require additional ID to verify the identification of the bearer of the card if there's any question. The purpose of the card, again, is to provide eligible veterans with a verifiable, easy-to-handle, low-cost veteran status identification card. This card will enable eligible veterans to identify themselves and obtain such discounts and special rates as may be offered by participating merchants and businesses. Definition. Eligible veteran. An individual who has completed the military obligation of service and who, one, does not have a VA or military identification card of any type. Reason being, those cards are already honored by the businesses we're talking about. Item two. Discharge status other than dishonorable and served in the armed forces of the United States. Must have served in either the regular armed forces or the state or national guard or reserves, and also the merchant marine when they were used in time of national defense. A brief recap of the procedure is that the veteran presents a valid DD-214 or equivalent to the county clerk of residence. Again, at this time, it's just going to be Franklin and Titus counties. This document is registered by the county clerk of residence. The Titus County Clerk's Office will issue a veteran's contact information form to each veteran applicant. Titus County veterans will file a DD-214 or equivalent at this time. If they have not already done so, then the eligible Franklin County veterans will bring a copy of their filed DD-214 or other document to the VSO. Veterans residing in other counties will not be issued cards from the VSO at this time. Future programs are being considered. VSO will review, fix, seal, sign, and issue all cards. All discharge types other than honorable will be reviewed by the VSO. Under no circumstances will a card be issued under dishonorable discharge conditions. Fees and assessments. There will be no charge to the veterans of Titus and Franklin County. In the event a program evolves where other counties are being considered, then that, I think that should require a memorandum of understanding between this court and any other county jurisdiction or VSO. Under product and community support, again, Lowe's, Home Depot, Tractor Supply, and other area businesses already offer veterans discount programs, but there is an inconsistency in the type of identification. Their comments to me is we just need something standard so we know what we're looking for and what to be looking for when we verify the status of the card. I've been in touch with the Chamber of Commerce earlier in the review of the program. Their comments are that they support the program and the idea. However, they weren't going to be involved in the initial inception, making sure that all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. But Ms. Curry is here from the Chamber of Commerce and can give you an update on that. And I'm scheduled to be in attendance at the January meeting to explain the card to all the participating businesses and merchants. As far as how is this going to impact the county clerk, when we started this, they were going to be hand in hand operating in this condition. But as it stands now, most all the activities will be handled out of the VSO office. The only thing that they'll be required to do at this time is when an individual brings his DD-214 in, to be filed as he already does. There is an application form attached to the packet that I gave you. These will be on hand in the county clerk's office, and they'll be given one of those at that time for individuals to fill out. And if it's at a time when I'm not in office, such as I'm only there Monday through Wednesday normally, but on Thursday or Friday, if the veteran comes in, after they register DD 214, and you'll be able to fill this information out and leave it there, and I'll pick it up the following workday to start reviewing his application, his or her application for ID card. I have been in touch with the county attorney, and the legitimacy of this program. And I've been made aware of no conflict of issues at this time. I touched base with the county auditor. And said that funds available at the discretion of the commissioner's court to allot the money. This is not a request for a major outlay of cash. Purchase of equipment, as we were talking about, for printing cards. I have attached also an estimate of the type services requested. And for Titus County, an initial outlay of $70 for the printing of the cards, and that's with the individual branches of service and disclaimer on the back. Cost of $70 for Titus County and $50 in the quantity requested for Franklin County. And again, the county attorney and the Chamber of Commerce are in attendance to answer any questions that you may have of them. As far as the use of the service branch emblem and logo, the Adjutant General's Office, United States Army, and Division Headquarters in Oklahoma City. So basically, it's no different than an individual wearing a baseball cap with the branch of service on it. There's no restriction or requirement to have a release from the federal government. We're not advocating that we are an arm in the branch of service. We are issuing these cards to eligible veterans who have earned the status to wear the emblem of the branch of service. As far as the presentation, that's most of the points that I have to present. Are there any questions filed me or county attorney or the Chamber of Commerce? So if they'll have one on record in case of a house fire, they'll have a copy of their military service. There are only two other programs in existence at this time in the United States. that I'm aware of.
Four of them.
One's in New York, and I think the other is in, I think California. Not sure.
Steve, I was talking, you said again, there's only one other state that does it, is that what you said?
It's local entities, and as far as I know, there are only two others in existence. Basically, it's a way to say thank you to your veterans.
Steve, this, okay, you said the spoken of, and, you say veterans in Franklin, Titus County, apply for it. Our initial cost is $140 to get the first set of cards created, is that correct?
Yes.
But if I live in Hunt County, I could look here and get a card.
Yes.
It's limited to Franklin County.
Yes.
Are they not issued, when they discharge or retire, whatever, they're not issued any kind of card in, except just the form that they're out of the service?
It depends on their veteran status. If they are active reserves, they have ID cards. If they're on base access, they have ID cards. Nobody that has an ID card is eligible. These are for the veterans who aren't on the list of benefit receipts, who have no other military obligation, provided their service in the discharge. That's the group of veterans that fall through the slats, and they did their service, they did their service honorably. They're not in receipt of any state or federal benefits. They're not on any rolls for discount services, or prescriptions, or medications, anything like that through the VA. As those IDs already comply to the requirements of the businesses and merchants who provide discounts. All we're providing is a mechanism to prevent a veteran to not have to carry around a DD-214. That's all we're making.
There's not going to be any liability for us for all the stuff that's come through some of this?
As the disclaimer says, there's no liability for, no requirement for a merchant to even honor the card. And the card.
I asked you that question when you talked to me about it. If you might want to have another sentence and explain the budget, if there's a question, you can contact local veterans office, because the office will be fine and kind of helpful. Hopefully. And secondly, hopefully they'll ask for picture IDs. If it's not a picture ID, I'm not.
Right.
If they ask for picture ID, go along with it. But that would prevent that person from coming over the phone and calling.
Right.
So if they'll contact the veterans office, they can come over the phone. That was my biggest concern outside of maybe the federal people not willing to issue cards.
I think we need to do, like the judge suggested there, we need to let someone come to us that we can do this.
You know, I know there are a lot of doubts, buffers, stickers, and all kinds of things for people, frankly, service, but it may be
Thank you. Well, I was told if I needed that, I'd come back and send it out, so they could probably give me a letter, but since there's no problem, matter of fact, they have followed our efforts in recognition that there are so few programs available to veterans who don't have a military ID card on their person. And here, this would be the third to be in existence if it's approved. But I don't know. Well, we thought we were addressing that, but it just came out of the room, but if we needed more precise, we can work through it.
Well, I support your efforts. I think it's a good deal. We can't have that today.
Have any questions of Ms. Curry?
We're glad that you came.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Any other? Does this contain all the corrections that I've made? There was some concern about all the attachments being attached to the one. Is it arranged to where there's just one attachment on the website? They be approved.
Thanks, Your Honor. Commissioners for Lyon, Texas Health and Human Services here to present our request. We've been at 303 East 11th. I've looked at my records. I've been here 20 years, and I think I look back to the early 70s. We've added on to the building. We continue to maintain and keep the integrity of the exterior and the interior of the building. We've gone as far as painting the interior, put new carpet in, new VCT tile. This past year, we've added a couple of new heat and air units. We're getting ready to do some interior work on the unisex restrooms, renovate them. They're kind of old and need some updates. We just would like to request your approval to extend our stay. I noticed the date here in the agreement that I sent Ms. Simpson. Says November the 25th. I believe that should be the 26th. I'm going to go back and check my records. 2011 through November the 25th of 2016. We are required to get our agreements ahead in case something comes up and the county needs the space back or something, so that we can be prepared to go out and bid. The only change in this agreement, and we talked this up as a courtesy only, you're welcome to change it to your county's format. We did add to cover ourselves so that we can pay for these things that we are doing for the building as far as the exterior goes. We were covered on routine, but we wanted to make sure that when we do roof work or we do parking lot work or we're getting ready to get a bid on the overhang, the metal overhang, so that we can paint it. And it's two different colors right now and it's kind of faded out, and we're going to do some things like that. We did change the termination clause, or the, you know, expiration clause, to our standard, which is 180A out. That gives you the opportunity, if you need the building back, to cancel on us, and vice versa, due to funding or whatever the reasons are, that we can have an 180-day out clause. We have about 33 staff there. We have the Texas Health and Human Services, who provides food stamps, Texas assistance to needy families, and then your Medicaid for Texas programs for the Titus County area. We have Texas Department of Protective and Regulatory Services, which for Titus County, they provide the adult and children child protective services for your county. And then we also have DADS, which is Texas Department of Aging and Disabled, and that's, we provide services to the aged and disabled in this county. And right now we have, like I said, 30 to 35 staff there. We're fully housed, and we would love to be able to continue our arrangement with the county with your approval.
Second.
I appreciate you. And can
is this the building that's right there next to the okay.
Right, right across from the overhead door.
Jefferson.
The one on Jefferson, that's our state health services, and we leased that building through Dr. Lawler's entity. And we are looking, we actually have a bid out on the street on that one. We've outgrown it. So, but okay. They're two separate. That one's over there across, I think it's an overhead door hanger. Old Sonic, right. Mm-hmm.
Motion by Commissioner Steele, second by Commissioner Hall, to approve the renewal of lease agreement.
Thank you. With your permission, can I leave?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 5, this is not approved with conference control of Michael and Carol.
Make it motion to pay the public.
Second.
Judge Danny Floyd,
what he would like to do is just have this done, and he's going to put it in a frame and put the veterans that were killed in Vietnam around it. He'd like our permission to put this down on the first floor somewhere. Steve suggested maybe down with the somewhere down there and then. So I think what we need to do is kind of work back and forth with that.
Would you just turn around so I can?
Yeah. He's got two here. This is the other one. Steve may want to say something about this. I did not understand.
The evidence is going to be further than over there.
Yeah.
We can make it pass. You know, all we can do is assume that whoever did it has the same control of it. We try to turn back on the land, but we can't do it. Well, when the car is here, you got the seal of the brand of service. We won't let them say that they have no problem with our use of the seal and the cars we prepare here in the United States to the veterans. We can't, like I said, we can't control count number stickers and all this kind of stuff by local convenience stores and whatever. So all we can do is assume that if they're selling, somebody's got permission that they should have to do the seal.
I would assume that, Judge. I didn't ask that question, but that would be my assumption. And I don't have a problem.
The plan is to put both of those.
That's my understanding. Deals
in a frame.
A frame. He'd like a place to hang. He wanted to do it in here, and I didn't think in here would be a good place to do it because, you know, if you want it to be seen, there's not many people will see it in here, and that's kind of.
And he's gonna, the veterans or whomever is gonna do the framing and the formatting and that kind of stuff.
Have your understanding? Did he tell you that, Mike? Is that what he told you? And I don't have a problem with it being hung on our first floor down there somewhere, an appropriate place. Displays case or somewhere in that. And I make that into a motion to do this and us use the hang on our first floor.
You're okay.
We got a flag hanging somewhere down on that first floor, and they want to put this close to where that flag is. It may not wind up down there, Steve. They want to put it somewhere else. But I don't either. I don't think it's really. You know, I don't want to get into something where you're not happy with somebody else trying to do something. Like they're trying to take part of your job. See, that's not what we're trying to do. I know there's some dissension in y'all's in the veterans thing out there, and I don't want us to have the end of the part of that. And the only thing that I want us to do is have a place down there to hang this on this first floor. Now whether we hang it in there or whether we put it on in the hallway somewhere. Really doesn't matter. think his request was to, for it to be there permanently, but now, I think probably just display it on the wall. There won't be any conflict.
Historical Society have that other. I second the motion.
Got a motion by Commissioner Lockley, seconded by Commissioner Hobbs. Authorize placement of the plaque on the Vietnam veteran, look somewhere on the first floor of the courthouse, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Item seven. Consider possible approve action on order authorizing the county attorney to undertake such legal steps as may be required to complete construction of the county road 150. Fencing is in place in the county right of way.
Judge, this is an issue that arose in precinct one, early in November. I was made aware that a resident, who had just purchased a piece of property, had decided to, take his fence down and put up a new one. He just put it up, 4 to 5 feet, close to the road and where, the old fence was. And I checked on it and, called the individual and told him he was gonna have to remove that fence. He said he had other, advice and continued to complete the fence. I then contacted our county attorney and we've taken a series of actions to remedy this situation. John Mark is here to kind of explain what the procedure is, but I think it's very important that, the citizens of the precinct and this county, have the use of the property that's been, legally theirs for.
What basically, happened is what Mr. Commissioner Boggs explained was, he came to me regarding this, landowner moving this fence, a few feet into the county right of way. So what happened next is we basically just started some research, looking into what our legal what the legal ramifications were. And I've determined that, there's a couple different sections that apply. There's attorney general opinions that support, there's an attorney general opinion on point that actually deals with this very issue. And they found that the commissioner's court can make a finding that, in fact, the fence creates a safety hazard. And if it does, then, the county itself can remove the fence. It's also potentially a criminal act to move a fence onto the county right of way when you've been notified and put on notice that you're not allowed to do so, which is exactly what happened, with Commissioner Boggs instructing the landowner, do not do this, and he chose to do it anyway. So that's a whole other issue, and I'll be getting with the sheriff's office, and I'll have them, do a criminal investigation under the 42.03 of the Texas Penal Code. But, the Texas Transportation Code, section 251.016, says that, the legislature has granted commissioners court's authority to exercise general control over all roads, highways, and bridges in the county. More specifically authorizes commissioners courts to make and enforce all necessary rules and orders for the construction and maintenance of public roads, as everyone's well aware. By granting commissioners court general control over the roads, the legislature imposed on them a duty to make the roads safe for public travel. And what's been, Commissioner Boggs explained to me is, by moving this fence 12 feet or how many feet it was moved over, that has created a problem with his crew being able to maintain the road properly. So, what I need from the commissioner's court is an order to that effect. And I have actually the language, prepared that says that after notice and posting is required by law, the commissioner's court of Titus County, Texas does hereby make a finding that a fence erected in the county right of way to County Road 1350 constitutes an obstruction and poses a hazard to the traveling public using said road. and such obstruction and hazard unless removed serves to damage the public interest of said road by preventing maintenance of said road. It is further to this finding the county attorney of Titus County is requested to take such legal steps as may be necessary to accomplish the removal of the encroachment upon the county right-of-way to County Road 1350, including, if necessary, the actual removal of said fence. And what I plan to do, if the court approves this order, is to send a demand letter to the landowner explaining to them that he's got 30 days to get this fence removed and put back in its proper place. And if he doesn't, then I'll take the next steps. And I will hold off any criminal prosecution also until giving him ample time, the 30 days, to get the fence removed.
We're calling this county.
Sir?
We're calling this county liability, correct?
Yes, sir.
But in fact, the property owner's property description has been to the center of the roadway.
I do not believe the law provides that, no.
No, I'm talking about this. The legal description, I know the legal description on my place out of Austin, goes to the center of the county road.
It does. You talk, when they survey, they do that, yes.
So, in that case, we're in effect saying that you cannot do anything with this particular part of your property. Is that right?
I think the case law supports that. They cannot, if that's the case, then they could put a fence right up next to the roadway.
I'm probably playing the devil's advocate.
That's fine.
But, you know, we do not have an established county right-of-way.
Yes, we do.
We have a deed to the property.
No, we have Chapter 258, which we approved in 2004, makes that a Class 3 road, which affords us a 16-foot right-of-way. That is legislative. We did it in this court in 2004. Allison and Bass was the firm that did the, that completed that, and which qualifies us to designate our roads a Class 3 road with 16-foot right-of-way.
You know, I pay taxes on my road after I'm one ballot, and I'm the center out there, and I can't do anything on any of their right-of-way.
Now, the history is, Judge, that yes, the deed does go to the middle of the road. But in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when they decided they wanted to actually put in a road, they gave to the counties that right-of-way so that they could get a road.
Yeah.
And so that's the precedent.
We didn't do that. There weren't deeds to the county.
It's not deeded, probably deeded to the middle of the road. My place is deeded to the middle of Edwards Avenue. But yet the state has a right-of-way of 20 feet that is, I do not have access to, such as this landowner does not have access to 16 feet.
And
well,
that road is, even though you own that out the road, you can't put a culvert in or whatever unless they approve it.
We went through this process. We had a lot of roads in Texas, public roads, and we had a few roads that that's all private roads, they can use public roads. Anyway, we have to clarify that in 2020. And it could be a process. Anybody had any problems with what was already prepared, that was right. So, as far as I know, we didn't have anybody.
We did not have A1.
Also, you can go that part of the road, you can go to the center of the road, and you can go to the appraiser's office, and that part of the road will be taken place all. We need to shut that road down. That property goes back to the landowner. Exactly.
And
you can go to the appraisal district and say, from my fence line to the center of the roadway, I'm going to take it off.
Yes.
That's it. And they'll take it off.
That's my understanding.
Imagine why have they been flooded with requests by property owners?
Well, I think they have.
And Michael, one thing you said there now, if we close that road, that doesn't automatically go back to that property owner. They've got the first option of buying it back or whatever.
Because if you own the land, it's physical.
down, because I just went through that Cookville about 7, 8 years ago. The property owner that owned the land had the opportunity to buy, had they had the first option to do that. We done all that through him and the court then.
Your Honor, here's a couple of different opinions. Attorney General opinion GA-0703. The Attorney General's office made a finding that a commissioner's court has the authority subject to judicial review to remove from a county right-of-way objects that create a safety hazard to the public. And again, here is another Attorney General opinion. It's GA-0693, and it's regarding the authority of commissioner's court to remove a county right-of-way structures that deems to be a safety hazard. In this case, it was mailboxes. The first case was actually a fence, and the second case was mailboxes. So if the commissioner's court makes a finding that this fence is going to create a safety hazard based on it being put on the county right-of-way, then the commissioner's court has authority to remove the fence or have the landowner itself remove the fence, which is what I plan to do, would be to send a demand letter explaining that fact to that thing.
Judge, I make the motion to give county attorney the authority to start proceedings against the landowner in question.
Second.
Judge, I have a question. Cover page of this agreement that it says, does this contract involve the construction, improvement, or repair of a building or road? Mark no. Is this not part of the pass-through project?
Well, it doesn't. This deals with the material of the pass-through, not the construction.
They'll be testing all the concrete for a little deal.
Well, it's ancillary to building the road. I just didn't know if that was a mistake or if that was, if they're sure. First page. also it says that the other party that's contracted county and it's marked no. Is this not a contract with TxDOT? I make a motion to table this.
I make that motion.
I spoke with him on both 11 and 12. In the letter from our representative on the tax, whatever 10 is, that he did not make a recommendation, which I thought was unusual, and I talked to him about it. He said that on both of these tracks, they are probably worth much more potentially than what the offer was given. That it's he didn't feel comfortable saying that he would suggest that we accept the bids. I felt like it would be in our best interest to table this until we have a chance to discuss it one-on-one and make a better decision on what we want to do. They're not bad bids. They're just a little bit low. In his mind, and we're asking for his advice, and he said he was not comfortable making that recommendation.
That's this 5 acre here is the appraised value on the market value of $57,475. 6,000.
The bank leaves the bids to sell.
Pardon me? Pardon.
Leave the bids for the county?
No.
No, it was
the garden struck off. Yeah, your parents had a tax sale.
We owned the property past the taxes. His others were going to purchase it. Yeah.
So you moved the table out of 11 and 12?
Yes, sir.
For a second.
Second.
Aye.
Corporation with Health First TPA out of Tyler, who is a TPA that handles your health insurance. Y'all remember that we did have a budget meeting a few weeks back, and if I may judge, may I pass these out?
I'm sure it is. What do you mean, you know I don't?
Y'all remember, after our discussion, your incumbent carrier, which is the first two items on the sheet, the incumbent carrier was asking for a 12% increase in your overall rates with the same benefits. We went out to the market to about 20 carriers and then brought you the six or seven that are on the sheet. Our recommendation at that time was to take the third one on the sheet, which is American Fidelity, and that way you're having actually a 1% overall decrease in your rate and a 4% decrease in the specific rate. The aggregate stop loss specific has been $120,000. It's remained the same. All the benefits under the plan are the same as the other. You could save a little money also on the next plan, but I do not think that it is good for a number of reasons, because we don't have everything cleared on that plan as we do under the other. All the people are cleared under the Fidelity plan. There are no lasers under that particular one. So it was our recommendation at the time we had the meeting that you change to American Fidelity. Also, sir? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, because it did not get on the list when we were having the meeting. So I had to meet with three of you individuals. So we're here today to answer any questions you might have, and if we can, to make a vote on this, because we need to tie it down before we do have another 20. We have the entire rest of the month of November to worry about a claim occurring. If we sign the contracts today and initial all of those, then that contract's made.
Yeah, what are you recommending?
The third one on there, American Fidelity.
A-R-A-N.
Yes, Aaron is just the name of the MGU that does that. The name of the reinsurance company is American Fidelity. It's A-plus carrier. Pardon? Oh, you might have, Judge, somewhere back a number of years ago. It's a very common carrier that's been in business a very long time. We just don't bring you any bids that are not at least an A or A plus. Probably took somebody else off on that. They won't always be in the same row as another. It doesn't have any significance to it. One thing that was asked by Paul was asking to increase the benefits. We talked about it, okay? I have sent out for that request, but don't have it back. However, I do not believe that people may make a significant change in your dental rate, because it's only for the ortho benefits, which are now limited to $1,000 per calendar year. And the suggestion was to take it to 1,500. So I don't think it would be. One thing I do want to recommend, we were given what the COBRA rates are now. And you remember that, Carl, they've not been changed for a number of years. And those have been recalculated for you based on what your experience has been and what you as a group can charge for your COBRA people. So we're going to give those to y'all. That then it's up to you whether you wish to make those changes or not. You can leave them where they are now if you want. That's discretionary of the group. But your COBRA rates compared to your utilization and the number of years that you've not made a change in the COBRA rates are well below what they should be.
What do you recommend?
Well, we have the COBRA rates here. They've been figured for you based on the past claims, and I believe they've not been. No, it's not. It's not on that sheet. Okay. Right now, y'all are doing only a two-rate structure. You're doing $800 for a member only, and then you're doing $1,000 for a family. You don't have a four-rate structure like you have under your regular benefits. The new rate would be an employee only is $901, an employee and child is $1,009, employee and spouse is $1,141, and an employee and family is $1,250.49. Let me reiterate again, those are based on your past claims history over the last few years, the fact that you can pass that on to the people under COBRA. You don't have to do that. It's merely what it would call for if you're keeping up the pace. If y'all don't want to change it all, that is y'all's repercussion. But that came up, and number one, I think you should be consistent and have a four-rate structure rather than a two. I don't know of another group that has just a two-rate structure. But that's merely a suggestion.
Well, these, again, are not employees. These are former employees.
Yes, sir. That those who have left your employee. If they terminated themselves or if they were fired, they have 18 months to stay on your group. If they are a disabled person, as we have one right now who's going to be coming on at the end of her medical leave, she's going to be eligible for 29 months because that's a disabled person. Then if you have a divorced or widowed spouse or a child who becomes beyond the age, you have 36 months that you can stay on y'all's group. All those claims that are incurred by those people are y'all's claims during that period of time. So you need to charge significant money to help pay for those because I can tell you that what you've got now is certainly not sufficient.
Have you got a list of those prices that you called out? I don't have it.
No, I don't have it here. I just have it written down. I'll get that for you. I have it here in the notes because it had not been. That would be for when you have one child and two kids.
That would include your spouse.
Yes, it would include your spouse.
Children, one.
And y'all may have.
What's the spouse?
What's the last one?
The spouse is $1,141. Employee and one child is $1,009.
Those rates include the employee.
That's just her. Our rates right now are $800, $1,000.
What was the spouse and children? Spouse and child.
$1,250.
The child was $1,250.
$1,250. Well, we need to decide this stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We need to buy in the case now before we have another.
I make a motion to go with that. American Development recommended.
We're going. with the first page here was specific deduction is still, deductible is still 45.
Yes, sir, everything is remaining the same. We looked at that day, but y'all had enough specific cases, right, and then the one hot acting papers to go to a few, we had those rates, but we had enough cases ongoing.
Second.
And we didn't recommend any COBRA changes for dental, because dental is an applicable thing under COBRA, but it just it doesn't have the liability there because it's capped in so many ways, so I didn't see what we need to change there.
Well, I think the dental is the policy that we have set up where you have your routine going in every 6 months.
Yeah, if you use a preventative, and it was proven on those reports that if you use a preventative, then you're not going to have those major and other things.
It's really paid off.
Yes, it has.
That's one of the reasons we kept the cost down. But I'd like to see the rates stay the same and everything, except I'd like to change the COBRA and go to your recommendation.
But Carl was talking about raising those rates some, have you not?
Well, I mean, sooner or later, we didn't raise it last year. You know, I understand that the employees, I want to hold off some of the new broad cloth, but sooner or later, to me, it's easier for us a little bit at a time to have to do with a bigger number somewhere down the line. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to separate out just that part of what the employees come to. We would not increase those this year. I feel like the year that we did not get any raises, no further explanation. That's my motion.
So the motion is to increase the amount?
No, sir. It just has to do with what the employee contribution is on their family premiums that we not raise the.
I thought Mike had already made a motion on
that. That's fine. I would draw on my second. He's talking about just the employees.
Right. Then we can take up those others if there's a dissension or difference.
I'm second there.
We're voting on just on our contribution, on the employees' contribution.
Yes.
Motion. Second.
I'm voting aye because I think every year, we didn't raise them last year, and I think this insurance is one of those things that you need to raise a little bit every year to stay on top of it. I vote no.
And Judge, if I might seek you out of court this contract.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about the COVID?
Yep.
You're talking about raising it to deep rates.
Make that a motion.
I'll make that into a motion. we adopt the figures that Gail had.
Specifically, $901 would be the COBRA contribution for one family member. One person with a child is $1,009. One person and the spouse is $1,141. And the family is $1,250.49.
Just made it up.
No.
Yeah. That's probably a bookwork.
I'll change that to $1,250 because Carl doesn't carry his one.
That's right.
That was his one. I'll second that. I was just quoting the number.
I was respecting January 1st.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
$1,500. I mean, that's annual. The annual. Yeah. On braces and stuff, I mean, they...
It's not just annual, it's just one time.
Just one time?
One time.
Well, I know...
They only get those bucks.
I know when I done my... When I had my daughter done, it's $1,000, and that's it.
Right.
You know.
Even if it takes you 5 years to pay for the braces, you don't
right.
get...
Right. Yeah, you don't get $1,500 every time.
Judge, that was good.
What he make a motion?
Increase the dental.
$1,500.
Second. So that is one time? Okay, it's not a year.
Per person. So
per person.
You have 3 kids in each race.
Okay, but it's not a year. It's per person.
Right.
Okay.
The oldest is 1,000.
Yeah.
Per person. It's not a year.
Now, what about the looking to adopt the other race?
Yes, the whole list. See, the employee didn't pay.